Amen? Amen. Let there be silence. Ah, yes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it begins with a heading that says, Servants of God's New Agreement. And Paul says, why are we beginning again to tell you all these good things about ourselves? Do we need letters of introductions to you from you like some other people? No. You yourselves are our letter written in our hearts, and it is known and read by all people. You show that you are a letter from Christ that he sent through us. This letter is not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is not written on stone tablets, but on human hearts. We can say this because through Christ we feel sure before God. We feel sure before God. We can be sure before God because God says so. We're not sure before God based on our actions other than our receiving Christ. And based on that, we can be sure before God. We can be sure that his steadfast love never ceases and that his mercies never come to an end. We can be sure that there is a way that seems right unto man, but that leads to destruction, but there's a way from God that leads to total victory. We can be sure of that. So as we spoke about the fog and about coming out of the fog and about how we can be in the fog spiritually, how we can be deceived because the enemy deceives us and we can be in a fog, or as the Lord revealed to me on Tuesday, that before we met Christ, we were in a fog. We were in that fog that Scripture talks about, and everybody went their own way. Without Christ, we do our best to convince ourselves that we're okay. And that how we want to see things is just fine. It's like the young man in the jail on Tuesday that he said, so what, you think it's a sin to have a child in high school? And I said, no, it's not a sin to have the child necessarily. That's a beautiful benefit, but it was a sin that created the child unless they were married in high school. Oh, he said, I don't agree with that. I said, well, that's your privilege. I'm not here to try to tell you what you can agree with or not. I'm just here to tell you what, if you do agree with it, it'll work for you. Because that kind of attitude hasn't been working so good. And we, too, realize that before we met Christ, what we thought really wasn't working for us. Even when we thought it was working for us. Even when we thought it was okay. Even when, for me, I was raised going to church. And so I at least felt like I was a little better off than other people. But in my heart, I knew that there were some things that didn't quite line up. You know, in my heart, I knew there were a lot of things that didn't line up and very few things that really did. But I did go to church and I did really enjoy singing in the choir. But in my heart, I knew that that probably wasn't going to be enough, but in my fog, I thought it's okay. Because in that fog is that attitude that says, well, you know, if God is love, God certainly wouldn't send anybody to hell. And in that fog, you're not really certain that hell is really hell because God is love. And so, you know, the Bible might say a lot of stuff, but I mean, you know, at the very least, it just wouldn't be as great a place as heaven, but, you know, all that stuff about the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched and the suffering forevermore, you know, that really can't, you know, I mean, let's be realistic. A loving God wouldn't do that. But then the fog cleared and we caught a glimpse of Jesus and, well, even if it only meant eternity without Jesus, that wouldn't be much fun. But as the fog clears, we realize that what is written is written. And the quicker that we acknowledge that and flee from the appearance of evil, the quicker we can get that out of our minds and get into the promises of God. And get into wanting to have the promises of God accomplish what God promises. Get to a place where we see that we are being changed and revealing the glory of God. And we should be thankful and grateful and very much recognizing what God has accomplished. But we shouldn't allow what God has accomplished to get us to be foggy about what He is yet needing to accomplish. Because God says that we can't compare ourselves with ourselves or measure ourselves by ourselves, because that would be foolish. Paul said, I am what I am because of Him. He also said, I haven't arrived yet. He's still working on me. I want Him to still work on me. I mean, I want Him to work on me a lot. Partially because I have understood that there is a blessing of the Lord, and that the blessing of the Lord blesses us. And so, as the psalmist said, your word makes me happy. Psalm 119 is full of declarations of how God's word makes them happy, how God's word changes the life, how God's word reveals life to us. But your word makes me happier than anything, Lord, because His word is the one that can set someone free who is sitting feeling condemned or feeling responsible for something. You know, Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I reach for what's ahead. I'm not responsible to change what's behind me, but I am responsible to choose what's ahead. I'm responsible to seek the Lord and to say, Lord, help me to choose rightly. Show me your ways. Teach me your path. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we are so sure of this hope that we can speak very openly. Do I reveal that I am sure of this hope? Am I more sure of God than I am of anything else? Am I sure enough of God to release the presence of God into any and every circumstance? To pray for the sick? To cast out the demons? To just put it into practice? It says it, we'll just put it into practice, and then we will expect the results. See, if we don't expect the results, then we have just said something. Now, this does not mean that we control what God does, but it does mean that we can either release into the atmosphere, into the circumstances, into the situation, what God says, or we can doubt and have the Lord ready to act, waiting for us to quit doubting. Now, Jesus, to one person He said, what do you want? What would you like me to do for you? He said, I want to receive my sight. He said, okay, you've got it. What do you want me to do for you? To another man who said, Lord, if you can do anything. And remember what Jesus said to him? If I can? If you can just believe, I can. Ooh, he said, okay, I believe, help my unbelief. He got a revelation of, whoa, my belief is going to have something to do with this. I got some responsibility. See, we can be in a Christian fog that doesn't take responsibility. Well, it's up to God. God knows what he wants. If God really wants it, then God will just have to do it. But Paul said, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, I'll put my faith into action. I will pray without ceasing. I will seek the Lord and hear what is it that the Lord would have me do. What's my part? Sometimes my part is just waiting. And sometimes my part is speaking. And sometimes my part is being available to speak when the opportunity comes to speak. And you know, the funny thing is that a lot of times when we're supposed to be waiting, we're trying to make something happen. When we're supposed to be speaking, we're being silent. And when we're supposed to be silent, we're speaking. I wonder where that urge comes from. That comes from the enemy trying to mess up what God is doing. Right? So, he says, we're not like Moses who put a covering over his face. He covered his face so that the people of Israel would not see it. Why? The glory was disappearing. Now, I'm not really sure why the glory was disappearing. If the glory was disappearing because Moses' patience with those people was disappearing, or if because God was removing the glory because he was tired of what the people were doing. But it says that the glory was disappearing, and Moses didn't want them to see it end. It's a sad thing when the glory begins to disappear in somebody's life. When the zeal for the Lord begins to fade. When the cares of this world begin to be the things that are more obvious and more revealed. When the doubts seem to come quicker than the faith. You know, it's a sad thing to see that. And, you know, oftentimes, people may put a veil on to try to cover that up. We may try to veil that in hopes that it's, you know, we may try to just, well, you know, it's still there. It's still there. Well, Moses knew it wasn't still there. He knew that he wasn't seeing it. You know, they didn't have great big mirrors, but apparently he could catch a glimpse in the, I don't know, look in the gold of the Holy of Holies, or whatever the case might be, but he didn't want the people to see that. You know, there's a lot of things we don't want people to see. But sometimes we need to just let them see it. I had a guy talking to me, and he was talking about the fog, and he had been reading a book that kind of went along with that, and what he was seeing in the book was that he said, you know, I had everything. I had just gotten an inheritance. I was buying a house. I had a truck. I had my motorcycle. I had all of this stuff. But he said, I chose something that wasn't right, and that was why he was talking to me in jail. You know? And he said, man, I don't know if I can get over that. I said, well, here's the deal. It's good for you to see it just the way that it is. It's good that you see how atrocious it is. It's good that you remember how atrocious it is and just how much you need forgiveness for it. And then you need to remember that you are forgiven. But now you need to move on. You need to now see what God can do with the rest of your life. It's not impossible for God to give you favor, even in the midst of this. But the favor may not be what you want. You may still pay a society's price for this, but look at what you can have if you will just move on with it. I'm not sure, to a certain extent, that he wasn't wanting to stay in the place of not really going ahead and accepting the total forgiveness, because with total forgiveness comes responsibility. Right? With total forgiveness comes gratitude. And gratitude should produce something. I had another person that I said, you know, I could tell this person's been in church for a long time, and I don't know what we were talking about, but I think it was probably during the fog time. Anyway, I said, you know, you, of course, they can look at it and say, you should know better, so get it right. And she said, I'm trying. I said, no, trying won't work anymore. Trying just don't cut it. Do it. Yeah, she said, I know. But you see, we can be in a fog that thinks trying is good enough. Well, we all know that when we're trying, we're not really trying that hard. I can get this. Now that means it. You know, that gets it. Well, anyway, Moses didn't want to see that the glory was leaving. Verse 15 says, even today when they read the law of Moses, there's a covering over their minds. It's that thing that comes on that covers their minds that says, you know, Jesus still hasn't risen. Because a lot of people have said that he hasn't risen, and yet so many other people saw him rise, but they want to deny the truth. We don't want to be caught in denying the truth. We want to let the glory shine. Verse 16 says, but when someone changes and follows the Lord, that covering is taken away. Once we change and follow the Lord, the covering is taken away. We can't hide anymore in the fog. We can't pretend any longer this is good enough. If the Spirit of God is saying, come on, we can't sit and say, well, we're okay here. And we have to recognize when what we're saying is, I'm okay here. We need to say, wait a minute, I don't want to stop here because God's got something ahead for me. Right? Do we believe that God has something ahead for us? And I'm not just talking about heaven. Yes, it's going to be glorious. But there's something tomorrow. There's something better. There's something fuller. There's something greater. And we can rest in Him, and we can listen to Him, and we can respond to His voice, and we can just sit in His presence. Yes, the covering's taken away. The veil is taken away. You know, we can pretend that there's fog there, but there's nothing covering. We are laid bare before God. Now, we're not laid bare before God so that He can embarrass us or so that He can condemn us. But we're laid bare before God, and if we understand that we're bare before God, then there's nothing to hide and there's nothing to fear. Me and my Savior. Nothing between us. No veil, no fog, no nothing. Nothing between me and God. God, let there be nothing between. Nothing between me and my Savior. The Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoa! Freedom. What are we revealing? Are we revealing freedom? Are we revealing bondage? If I'm bound by my fears and bound by my doubts and bound by my surroundings and bound by this and bound by that, you know, what does that show up? Oh, yeah, it shows up. It's pretty tough to ignore when somebody's got shackles and handcuffs on. You can tell in the physical and in the spiritual. And you could say, somebody can come into court with handcuffs and shackles on, and you can say, oh, they don't have handcuffs and shackles on. They're just walking like that. Because. But on the other hand, somebody can come in physical shackles and handcuffs, and you can see that they're free. Free in the Lord. You know, our missionary to the Sioux Falls Penitentiary, Philip, called this week and said that he had gotten this new roommate. I think I mentioned this Wednesday night, but maybe not. And if I did, that's okay. You can hear it again. But he had gotten a new roommate. You know, he gets no cellmate, but what that cellmate gets saved. Does not matter who comes, they end up saved. So far, anyway, that's been the rule. This guy's in there, and this guy was not just a normal cellmate. He was an absolute atheist. And he was an adamant atheist, telling Philip that his belief in God was of no use because it was not a reality. And Philip proceeded to explain to him, well, I guess that's your choice, but let me read you a few things. And he read him a few things, and the guy said, I need to think about this. He said, I need a couple of weeks to think about this. But 2 days later, he wanted Jesus as his Savior. And then God began to restore him. He had hepatitis C, and God healed it. Quiet. He had a deaf ear, and God healed it. He was producing estrogen instead of testosterone, and God healed it. Three separate, instantaneous things that the infirmary could confirm. God is on the move. And even when others come and say, we don't believe in the miracle stuff, Philip says, do you need prayer? And most generally, God responds. Because the glory is revealed in God. And it says, our faces aren't covered. We show the Lord's glory. And we are being changed to be like Him. That's what's supposed to be going on in our lives. And He's doing His part. He's doing His part. So you are being changed to show the Lord's glory. Say, I am being changed. I am. I am being changed. And this change brings more and more glory. It brings glory to us in the heavenlies as the angels acknowledge and God acknowledges, and you know that when the heavenlies recognize your glory increasing, that the blessings of God increase as well. And our expectancy of those blessings should be such that we just look for them, recognize them in great and tiny ways and see, that's the Lord. And as that happens, our confidence builds and we reveal the glory of God. We reveal that our confidence is in Him and that He is able. And that glory comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has in store, what the Lord has planned, what will be revealed to those who trust Him. But just the thought of that should say, wow, the Word of God makes me happy. I can find it in God's Word. I can hear it when I sit in His presence. I can hear it if I will listen when I'm worshiping and when I'm singing unto the Lord a new song. I can hear those things and I can respond to those things. Because we're going to respond to something, folks. We're going to respond to the condemnation, the accusations of the enemy. And we're either going to respond to those with a get behind me, you have no part in me. Or we're going to respond to those with heaviness and despair. What would the Lord have us to do? We know that Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. As the Word of God reveals those things that need to be forgiven, if we confess them, He forgives us. And He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. That's good news. That's excitement. We should get excited about that. Those who are forgiven much, love much. Get excited about that. Don't be in a fog thinking, well, some things just aren't necessary to be forgiven for. They're just small things. Compared to the righteousness of God, the smallest thing is something that we don't want hanging around. You ever notice how much disruption one fly at the dinner table can cause? It has everybody going. Somebody running to get a fly swatter. Somebody picking the fly out of the food after it's been killed. You know? And then, very frequently after the one has been killed, there's still the distraction of where his friends are. Well, that's kind of what one little thing can do to nip away at our lives. And yet the Lord swats it and it's done. And they're washed into a sea of forgetfulness. And we should be revealing a forgiven person. A joyous person, a confident person, not in our own confidence, but our confidence in the Lord. Our confidence is in Him, who is Spirit. Our confidence is in His promises. Our hope is in Him. We can say these things. We are so sure of this hope that we can speak very openly. God's able. God will. Declare a good thing. Speak of those things that are not as though they are. Come out of the fog. Let the clarity of God be revealed to you and through you. Be rid of those things that hinder you, that hold you back. Be free from them. Don't let them hold you down. Just be free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we have freedom. Show us the way to walk in it. You said, this is the way, walk in it. We're going to walk in it. There's so much that you have available to us, and if we just look, there is no small thing that we do for you. There is no small word of confidence that we can speak in you. There's nothing small, because even the tiniest seed becomes a tree that birds can rest on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.